Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan.
But ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
The Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
If the season has a gender, I guess it's a she. Thank you to Bill Withers with the assist on the bumper music, which is always on point here on the Saturday Morning Showcase. But the Badgers season has tragically come to an end. Heartbreak for the Badgers. Vito Brown's three gave Wisconsin a three-point lead with 26 seconds to go. Maybe a little false sense of security there as Notre Dame took it down for a layup 7 seconds later. And then the big turnover. Nigel Hayes tries splitting the double team. And then it leads to another Notre Dame layup. And before you know it, that three-point lead with 26 seconds left turns into a five-point win for Notre Dame. Saturday Morning Showcase on the Fan, 9:34 in the New Mail Medical Fan Studio. I'm joined now by Zach Bohannon, who unfortunately, watching the game last night, yeah, that's heartbreak. That's one thing. Watching what happened to his brother, Matt, a senior at Northern Iowa, last Sunday in Oklahoma City against Texas A&M, that's a whole nother level of heartbreak, and I hate to start the interview on a low note, but Zach, first of all, I appreciate you joining the show, but that had to have been not so fun for you and your family.
No, it definitely was one of the most heartbreaking moments I've ever experienced on the basketball court, whether it involved me or outside of that, and I say that totally serious in the fact that I think watching what happened to my brother in the final game on Sunday night against Texas A&M was more of a heartbreak than what happened to me in the Final Four with Harrison's shot to go to the national championship game versus Connecticut.
Yeah. How's your brother doing now?
He's doing well. He's now just trying to recoup from everything. He's going through the whole rehab and surgery, or he's probably going to have surgery on his knee and end up doing a bunch to his knee and his ankle that he probably wouldn't have been able to, or he actually wouldn't have been able to play without doubt on Thursday if they would have found out a way to win that game. But mentally, he's still struggling, as anyone can, after pouring 22 years of your entire heart and soul into a career.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I guess looking ahead, though, with the Bohannon family, there always seems to be another guy up in the line. There's one more, and your youngest brother, Iowa, right? Going to Iowa.
Yep. He will be a freshman, and have a really good chance to earn some minutes, if not be the starting point guard next year at Iowa.
Well, and Mr. Basketball, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, that is correct. He was Mr. Basketball and Gatorade Player of the Year for the state of Iowa this past season after a phenomenal four-year varsity career that he had.
That Bohannon family is ridiculous. This is Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan. I'm joined by Zach Bohannon, former Badger. Let's talk about the Badgers because last night was something else. Looked like the Badgers had it all wrapped up, going back to the Elite Eight for the third straight year. And then the last 30 seconds, to lose is one thing, but to lose in the manner that they did, in that kind of style, turning the ball over, that's something that Badgers fans aren't used to seeing from this program. But they collapsed. Your reaction?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a collapse. I said the same exact thing in the Texas A&M epic comeback against Northern Iowa. It was just one of those things that, and I'll get into the turnovers after I make this point, but it was just one of those things for the Badgers that it was just a perfect storm of events that happened that took them out of the game that ended up making them losing after, like you said, Vito made that three to go up 26 seconds left. And I feel like I have the right to say this since I'm kind of a Catholic, but it felt like they were almost fighting eight people out there. And I'm not talking about the Duke game last year where they had to fight five people on the other team and three refs.
Right.
I'm talking about they had to fight the five Irish players and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the Holy Trinity of the Catholic Church. And I hate to say it, but it just felt like they had that extra spirit on their side, like the luck of the Irish sometimes usually get on the football field and the basketball court. So in that regard, and let's be honest, they were an underdog. They were a one-point underdog in Vegas, not that I gamble or anything.
Of course not.
Or no spreads of any games.
Yeah, of course not.
But in that sense, like, you knew there was somehow, and watching the game early, it was just, the game reminded me, I kept telling my dad when I was watching the game in the first half and the second half, I'm like, Dad, there's just, this game feels like our Northwestern game my senior year at home when we dropped it At home, Northwestern was awful in the Big Ten. And they came in and just hung around, and then they just took advantage of that one opportunity they got at the very end of the game. And that's what Notre Dame did, is they got that one opportunity. They kept it close within single digits, even though a 5-8 point victory or 5-8 point lead in that type of game situation felt like a 20-point lead.
Right.
But just how ugly the game went, and I know the game was in Philadelphia, I almost felt like I was watching the 76ers, how sloppy of a game it was.
Yeah.
At that arena. But going to the turnovers, that was the biggest Achilles heel that Wisconsin has been built on over the last 15, 16 years with Coach Ryan. And for a team to average 10.8 turnovers in Coach Gard's first season, that's going to be something that has to come down. I know he factored that into a lot of youth and inexperience, but for a team to have 17 turnovers in a Sweet 16 game, those usually don't get the wins unless you're a top-rated program that can just shoot a high clip, which Wisconsin is not.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the Badgers playing 8-on-5 against the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mike Bray, Notre Dame's head coach after the game, said, Notre Dame doesn't lose on Good Friday or Easter Sunday. Unfortunately for Notre Dame, I think they're probably going to lose on Easter Sunday because there's this team that's called North Carolina that's going to give them a lot of problems. But we're talking about the turnovers, and the one that everybody's looking at, Nigel Hayes trying to split the double team at the end. A lot of people, at least on Twitter, I've been seeing some reaction. Why not get the ball to your point guard or to a ball handler? Nigel had a rough tournament, and people weren't happy with the result, obviously. Easy to say in hindsight. But I want to play some audio from Coach Gard here and get your reaction, Zach. Coach Gard says that's exactly what we wanted.
No, we wanted to get the ball to Nigel, which is what we did. We ran the baseline. He came back to it. You know, once that happens, then you got to make good decisions coming out of that situation if you do get trapped. But I like, with him being older, bigger, stronger, he can go through traps, he can go over the top of traps, but I wanted the ball in his hands. You don't have to look at the tape to see exactly what happened. I know he tried to split it, and ball got knocked away, and obviously ended up with a layup for them. But, you know, I thought once we got my main concern was getting the ball in bounds. And once we did that, then we have to make good decisions and spread the floor and take care of the ball. And credit Notre Dame for putting a good trap. You know, we won a game against Michigan State early in the year when we set a trap and got a turnover, and you hope you're never on the other side of the coin and that you can make sure you take care of the ball in those key situations. Tonight we didn't.
Zach, I guess my question to you would be, did you have any problem with how Nigel Hayes handled that? And I know at hindsight, he turned the ball over. You don't want to turn the ball over, but splitting the double team, and we've had callers calling and saying, you never do that with the dribble. How is that coached at Wisconsin? Like, how do you think the next dead ball, the conversation went between Coach Gard and Nigel Hayes?
I'm not getting into particulars on the player-coach type relationship because I think everyone knows that it's a good butt chewing when it gets to that situation, especially in that late game situation. But in that regard, it was when I was watching the game with my dad, and my younger brother Jordan was also with me. I told them that, oh, this is just a typical Coach Ryan, Coach Gard press break. They had three across on the half-court line. They had Bronson in the middle. They were going to have a screen. They had Jordan Hill and Nigel coming back from the wings on the base, or from the wings on the half-court line back to the ball just as a safety outlet. And then they had Bronson breaking to the middle. And so in that regard, they did exactly what they wanted. They wanted the ball in Bronson and Nigel's hands, and Nigel was the one that happened to get open in that situation, especially coming out of the corner, since he is bigger and stronger. And as you said, I don't know if, even if Bronson would have got the same catch, same position for that pass, like I said, there was that extra factor that was going to get the turnover regardless. The refs are notorious, and I know everyone blames games on refs, especially when your team loses. And I've never been of that nature because players mess up just as much as refs do in late games. But in that situation, you know refs are going to swallow the whistle. And happened in the Texas A&M Northern Iowa game when the refs, they do a phenomenal job. And I hate to say this and give refs this much credit, but for the most part, most refs, especially at that level, the top refs of the top NCAA games, they know that, no, we're not going to be, we don't want to be the center of attention in that situation. So you got to know that you got to be stronger with the ball in that situation. That's something that Nigel didn't do, and Nigel cost that possession. I wouldn't necessarily cost the game because I don't believe in one play costing the entire game.
Sure.
But that one possession changed the outcome of that particular series, and it ultimately led to a loss. But like I said, there were so many other plays that lead up to that play, and I know Coach Ryan was one of the biggest proponents of yelling at you for late game plays just because those are the freshest plays on your mind. But at the end of the day, the Badgers shot 6-20 from the three-point line, the 30% for all those non-mass majors out there, and they had 17 turnovers.
Yeah.
So if you're shooting 30% from three and having 17 turnovers, that's not a formula mixed for success, Terry.
Yeah, definitely not. And I was going to ask you about the officiating because that's a common way to point the finger, I guess. And I'm with you. I never watched the end of that game and thought, you know what, the Badgers lost that game because of the refs. If there's ever a game where you could say that, when the Packers lost in Seattle, when the refs just flat out screwed up the very last play of the game, yeah, you can say maybe that one call directly impacted the outcome of the game. Or even
exactly. If
you want to go basketball, the national championship last year in the second half was pretty skewed, pretty, let's just say, the opposite of how the game was being called in the first half. That's one thing.
But even in a situation like that, and I hate even my teammates all down the line who blame the officiating in that situation on the national championship game. I said, guys, look, you didn't adapt to the game. They changed the game how it was called early in the second half. You kept playing how it was played in the first half.
Yeah.
And that's not how life. If you don't adapt to your circumstances, you're not going to be successful. And that's what ultimately cost them the game. And I know they all got pissed off at me and they're like, were you cheering for Duke or did you not want us to win? I'm like, no, I wanted Wisconsin to win. But at the end of the day, you guys didn't take care of what you needed to do.
Yeah, and I'm with you. There's just the one vision I just can't shake out of my head is the out-of-bounds play with Justice Winslow, how they slowed it down and it went off his fingertip. They went and reviewed it, and they still gave the ball to Duke. Either way, whatever. Clearly, I'm already over that.
I agree.
That. Yeah, clearly I'm...
No, that was a bad call, but at the end of the day, it didn't cost them the game. There's plenty of plays that are made in a 40-minute game that cost, so...
Definitely. That's Zach Bohannon, former Badger. Follow him on Twitter, @ZBohannon. So a three-point lead with 26 seconds to go. And then, as Nigel Hayes says, it ended quickly, but he's still proud of this team. Zach, I want to get your reaction to what Nigel had to say. And then looking ahead, the future's still looking bright for the Badgers.
That's what you expect that's the price you pay when you play competitive sports. My high school coach always told me that the farther you go, the more important the game, the bigger risk you run. And, you know, if you don't come out a winner, it's always, it gets harder and harder and tougher to deal with. But, you know, I'm proud of my guys. Like Coach Gard said, we're in a position this year where everyone told us we wouldn't even make the tournament, let alone, you know, being a Sweet 16. So, not to say that, you know, I'm satisfied. I really do believe we, you know, should have won this game. We were the better team. We didn't play well enough, had too many turnovers, but all in all, I'm proud of the team.
So big picture, looking back on this season before we look ahead, Zach, you were saying all year, even through the struggles, they were 9-9 at one point, 1-4 in the Big Ten. You were saying they will finish top four in the conference once again. They'll have 22 wins. Guess what? Correct and correct. How are you going to remember this team, Greg Gard's first team as head coach of the Badgers?
I think from a holistic perspective, I'm just going to remember this Badgers team, not for any individual performances or any breakout performances in that regard. With that said, Ethan Happ did have a phenomenal redshirt freshman season. But I think I'm going to remember the resiliency and the grit that was demonstrated by Coach Gard all the way down to the group and what the team went through, especially when Coach Ryan stepped aside, especially when some of the scandals broke afterwards, that they still kept getting better and they kept practicing, they kept working hard every day and saying, no, guys, it doesn't matter what happens off the court. It doesn't matter what people say about us or say about Coach Gard. This is about us. This is about the 15 or 17 guys in the locker room and the four or five coaches on staff. And they demonstrated that they were a resilient group, that they took all the media attention that they said, oh, the Badgers think they lost five seniors. They lost all that experience, and Nigel isn't good enough to lead. Bronson isn't ready to step into that point guard role, and they showed them wrong. I know Nigel had his struggles, but when you're the center of attention after having a national player of the year, having a first-round pick in Sam Decker, both of those go to the NBA, then you had another guy in G.A. Duke and off the bench who's not on the team anymore, and then you have your heart and soul in Josh Koster and Trayvon Jackson
right. Gone.
For Nigel to step into the role that he did, as bad as times as he's played and as great as he did at times, it was an ultimate success. And he's going to be a successful person regardless. Everyone knows that because of how he is as a personality. But for him to go through what he did and all the scrutiny that he did, I think overall the resiliency and the success that they had is what I'm going to most remember as a whole.
And Nigel, regardless of how well he plays, he's still the gift that keeps on giving behind the microphone.
The Bumblebee isn't supposed to be able to fly because it's aerodynamically unfit, but the Bumblebee doesn't care. He flies anyways.
Will Nigel Hayes take his game behind the microphone and on the court to the NBA? Do you believe that'll happen?
Personally, I would hope he doesn't. I mean, he showed in three games of the NCAA tournament, as good as he has a lot to work on. And I hate to say that personally because I don't want to shoot down any of his dreams.
Right.
But I just think that he needs to go through a Frank Kaminsky-type transformation. He had a nice breakout season like Frank did his junior year, but he needs to take it one more step further and show the NBA and league officials that he's a Draymond Green, which I've said that from day one since he got to Wisconsin, that was the type of person he should be emulating on the court and off the court for his leadership as well. But I really think he could have that type of season, especially with all the pieces coming back, especially with the two guys who redshirted in Brevin Prinsel and our Belgium recruit that is going to be eligible to play next year. They're going to have a special season. And if Nigel does come back, given that situation, given the continuity with the coaching staff staying the same for an entire season, I really think they can be a Final Four team.
I'm with you. And with, like, you look at a guy like Sam Decker, the tournament run he had last year, totally understand riding that wave into the NBA draft. That's one thing. But you compare that, like, resume or application for the NBA, if you will, compare that to what Nigel did in this tournament, and it's, I mean, apples to giraffes, not even the same conversation. But looking ahead to next year, if Nigel is back, you say a potential Final Four team, I believe probably the preseason favorite in the Big Ten, maybe.
I definitely agree, especially with how much the Big Ten is losing and what happened this year in the Big Ten, just showing that how year after year it's always an up-and-down season. Even you look at a team like Michigan State, they were a favorite to win the national championship. They had a great year, minus the whole, I like to say, the Mark Titus Benghazi scandal that took place with Denzel Valentine supposedly getting hurt in the midway through the season just to improve some of his other players. But for the slide that Michigan State had and bouncing back, even that, anything can happen in the Big Ten. And that just shows that Wisconsin has a chance, just like they did the previous, not this year, but the previous two seasons before this, when no one expects them to do great. I shouldn't say that. Last year they were expected to do great, and they went to the national title game, obviously. But the year before, my senior year, no one expected anything out of them. Yeah. But when the expectations are risen, they've shown that they can get to that next level, like they did last season against Duke in the title, which I really think that even with the spotlight, this group can show even more resiliency and get to a higher level.
No doubt. A tough loss to swallow, but everybody's back. The players, the coach, it's all good. The future's looking bright. Hey, Zach, appreciate it as always, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Gotcha. You gotta give one shout-out, though, to Jordan Smith. Hats off to him on a great career. I know you say everyone's back, but you've got to give those walk-ons and players who worked their butt off for 5 years. So just want to make sure you give him the credit he deserves, because he's had a phenomenal career, even though he might not have been in the box for any games.
Yes, I will take a mulligan on that one. One senior on the team, Jordan Smith. Best of luck to him in his future endeavors. But the future is still looking bright for the Wisconsin Badgers. Thanks, Zach.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
You bet.
Talk to you later.